Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Thriving Marriage Podcast. My name is Mark Johnston, and with me today is Matt. Now, Matt here has been a client with us for a little while, and occasionally on the podcast, we really like to highlight specific cases. I know a lot of you have expressed to us that you really appreciate being able to see other people dealing with the same sort of problems. It helps you get some sort of idea, perhaps, of what you can do. And sometimes it's just nice to see how other people are actually making some progress in very similar situations. So, Matt, really appreciate having you here. Really appreciate your time. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So I thought we might as well just jump right in, mostly because, you know, it's got to start somewhere, right? So why don't you go ahead and let us know, like, how did you get to this point? Like, why are you even in a situation where you would be talking to me on a podcast like this? What happened to you?
Yeah, so that's the big question. I had met my wife a number of years ago and came from an earlier marriage, and we had a divorce. We have two children, and then I met her and we dated, and things were great at first. We may have gone a little too quickly. We married pretty quickly. Things were pretty fantastic, and then COVID hit, and we spent a lot more time starting to live together. And, you know, for a while we thought we were a great team. We're really getting through COVID isolation pretty well. And then just tension started to build up, and I wasn't quite aware of that. Over time I could start to feel that something wasn't quite fitting, and I would try to go to her and say, hey, something doesn't quite feel right. But those conversations never quite really led anywhere. And I think over time, we just started to feel more, we started to pull apart more. Then last December, she started to pull a lot closer. And then at the same time, she had been starting a bit of an inappropriate relationship with someone over text, and confronted her. We had a conversation about that. We had a big conversation about the state of our marriage, about where we are now, how to fix things going forward. And for a while after that, things were great. Like, things were the best they'd ever been. We started to spend a lot more time, whereas before I felt like we were starting to ignore each other more. And then it seemed out of nowhere, she just said, I just can't do this anymore. I need my space. Wow. I'm just feeling a ton of anxiety. I'm feeling overwhelmed. And she had to leave. So it really hit me out of the blue. It came to me like I had known that things weren't as great as they had been, but I was not expecting this at all.
Well, so Matt, that's a really interesting observation. You're like, okay, like things felt fine, and yet the two of you were pulling apart. I have to say, like, that's not the first time that we've heard things like this. I'm curious, like, what you think was going on with you and Sarah, or what do you think happens just in general with relationships to cause this situation where things seem fine, but it's really falling apart?
Well, since then, and we're, spoiler alert, we're back together again.
Right.
And so we've had tons of conversations about that. And so what, you know, how do we drift apart? I mean, that's still a question that's not completely answered. That's still something we're still struggling with and figuring out. But a lot of it came to a lot of it was defensiveness on my part. And so she was starting to feel like she wasn't able to communicate when things were coming up, and she was starting to give these signals. She's putting these feelers out there like, hey, something's not right, and I need to reach out to you about that. I would put up a wall. I got defensive, and she was starting to get this subtle message of like, okay, let's not deal with it because it's too much to deal with. And so because of that, over time, she just kind of let things build up. So by the time I was reaching out to her and saying, hey, something doesn't feel right. This, things aren't quite right, she would say, meh. She didn't want to really want to deal with it at that point because things had just built up so much.
And just, well, I think that's like a big principle with like within like the whole Gottman theories, right? Like, I don't know if you're familiar, but there's this big idea that the four horsemen of divorce, and isn't one of the big ones?
Yeah.
Defensiveness. And essentially what you're saying, hey, communication or feedback was really, you know, maybe passively is essentially being shut down is what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine that's probably the case in a lot of circumstances. So you said it got to this point here, and Sarah was saying, okay, she needs to take a step back. She's feeling overwhelmed. She needs to take a break. I mean, were you worried at all about that? How did you feel when she came
to at the time, I was still, well, it wasn't that she needed to take a break. She said she wanted separation.
Gotcha. Okay.
So she was starting to was considering divorce, and she was just thinking, I can't live the way things are going right now. I can't see a future like this. And so she was looking for actual separation. It wasn't just need to take a weekend break. Mm-hmm. So,
well, how about you? So she wants a separation. I mean, how did you take that?
Really rough. It's really rough. I didn't know how to react. Like I said, to me, it really felt like it came out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting this at all because, like I said, for the first couple months of the year, things had been fantastic, really, really good. And then she just said, we just had a big conversation. Like, I'm considering this and I don't want to rush into this because I tend to rush into things, but I need to consider this. At the time I was actually, this is about spring break time. So I already planned a spring break trip with my kids. Mm. And she had said, you know, this spring break would be a good chance for us to kind of clear the air and have some alone time and then have a conversations when I get back. And when I get back, she said, yeah, I can't do this. So she started looking for apartments and she moved out. And so, as you can imagine, that really, really hit me hard. And I was completely devastated.
I mean, that would be rough. I can only imagine, you know, if my wife were saying something like that. I'm not even sure, you know, even though I deal with this kind of stuff all the time, I don't know how I would react.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what did you do about it? I mean, did you just sit back and say, okay, Sarah? Or, I mean, did you...
So I think that first day when she said, she kind of was, this is it. This is the way it's going to be. I think I didn't know what to do at first. And so I kind of sulked for maybe half a day, a couple hours. And then I was like, well, this isn't going to last. So I need to figure out, you know, where do I go from here? And so that's when I started Googling. I looked around, I found you guys. I talked to the people I had to talk to, and they got me onboarded. And then I started working with your program. Although I came across your podcast, I devoured those. I think for the next week or so, because I listen to a lot of audio, listen to a lot of podcasts while I'm working. And once I had access to the PATH audio files and the PATH program, I just listened to those straight through. And I started, and a lot just kind of hit me as I go. I was like, my eyes opening up, like, okay, I can see how this happened. This is actually making a lot more sense now.
All right. So you didn't really let that get you down for too long. It sounds like you really got to work right away. And you,
I mean, that does tend to be my nature, but I mean, I did sulk for
sure. I know that's normal. I think, you know, I think most people that have found themselves in that circumstance, you got to give yourself a little bit of grace and a little bit of time to let that sink in a bit. So, I mean, you did mention a little bit ago, you said you and Sarah are doing good now. Tell me about that. Like, what's going on with you and Sarah right now?
So time has passed. And I mean, do you want to talk about like where we are now or how we got there?
Yeah, like what's the state of the relationship? Because, I mean, you told us, she's saying, I want a separation. I'm considering divorce.
Yeah.
I assume that's different.
Right? Yeah. So the state logistically, when that happened, our lease was about up. Our landlord wasn't renewing because right now where we are, the market is insane. So he can cash out. So I was in a situation where I had to find a roommate. She has a lease for a year. So I have a new place with a roommate, at least for a year. And then, you know, we worked through a lot of things. We're back together. And so right now we're not living together yet because both of us have separate places. There's not enough room for her here as it is. And she's paying rent where she is. So we're spending a lot of time talking about how we find a place once both of our leases are going to end at the same time. So we're right now we are spending a lot of time together as much as we can. My kids were just with their mom on vacation for the last week. So I spent the whole last week over at her place. Like, you know, I came here and watered the plants, went back to her place. And we do a lot of texting too. So it's been a little just in the day. That's kind of our thing. That's always been our thing. That's one of the signs that I knew that things were starting to fall apart is when we just stopped texting so much. And so we stay in touch with text. Every day we have a phone call, we chat, and anytime that I can go over there or she can come over here, we make it work.
So you guys are really putting in a lot of priority and just essentially paying attention to each other. That's what it sounds like.
We are, absolutely.
What do you think? I mean, is that the thing that created the biggest difference, or what did create the biggest difference? What got you from all the way over there where she's like, I'm done, and to this point where you're saying, hey, things feel really solid and you guys are making plans to move back in together?
I think some of the aspects that changed it were me really taking the time to understand her perspective, which I hadn't really, like, I kind of thought I had, but I hadn't really. And that was a lot with what I worked with Jeff. Like, Jeff would ask me a ton of really tough questions, and I just didn't have the answers to those questions. And I just don't know how to answer that. And he would say, no, of course you don't, but she does. Like, you need to have these conversations. And he would help me with these conversations to really understand her perspective. So understanding her perspective, and then sort of the idea of changing the narrative. One of the message, even early on, after I started consuming the Path audio material. And in there, there's the, like, how to have that initial conversation. And I really kind of glommed onto that. And the idea of, like, you know, if we don't end up okay, it was a realization that I had, like, even if we don't end up okay, I actually do want her to be happy.
Wow.
And, like, I want to be happy with her, but actually, I really do love her and I want her to be happy. And so even if we don't end up okay, like, what are those needs? How can I help you? How can I help you with those needs that you have? How can I help take this anxiety off of you? She later said that at the time she was having an actual panic attack. So how can I help you through that? And she did start to see, like, a different aspect of myself. And I think over time, which is a lot of consistency, a lot of kind of giving that same message, you know, actually, whatever happens to us, I want to be able to be there for you or help you through things and help you be happy.
I mean, it sounds like that would really take a lot of pressure off of the situation. You know, if you're not coming in and say, hey, we got to fix this, and you're just like, I want to make sure that you're happy. I don't know. For me, it sounds like that would just smooth things out quite a bit.
And that's exactly what happened. I think prior to this, you know, that was one of the aspects of things that were going wrong, is that she was feeling different types of pressure for various reasons. Mm-hmm. And she said that was one of the things that she really noticed, that she felt like, okay, that pressure's not there now. And she associated with being in a different place, but she realized that pressure's not there anymore. And I think, again, it was a lot of that consistency. So I think over time, she started to, you know, change her story, change her perspective, her narrative of the connection between us.
I mean, it's really interesting how that sort of thing evolves. I mean, if you were to look at a situation like early dating stages, and let's say that you and Sarah, under different circumstances, if you had put a lot of pressure at the dating stage, that wouldn't work. And most people, I don't think most people put a lot of pressure on the relationship at those early stages, or if they do, it doesn't turn out. And it's interesting how I'm not just commenting on your relationship with Sarah, but I think a lot of people start to rely overly much on their spouse for feeling good emotionally, like you need to be there for me and we need to fix this and all this needs to be good. And that's not always a great situation, it seems.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate to our situation.
Yeah. So right now you guys are still living apart. You have plans to move back together. And what do you, we just kind of established that you guys are really paying a lot of attention. Is there anything else that you're really doing to make sure that everything feels really secure? Essentially, some way to deal with still being separated. I mean, like for me, I'm looking at that situation. I'd be like, well, that was, you know, here's my wife. She wants to be with me. That would be a difficult situation to still feel like there's that separation, living separately, like getting in the way. So yeah, like what are you doing to really make things feel secure and to deal with some of that, the issues of living separately still?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I'm still kind of asking myself that question. Like, how do we improve things? I know for her, she's feeling a lot of guilt. Like she doesn't love where she's living. She'd rather be with me. And she says, you know, she just feels really bad for, and she's blaming it. She does a lot of blaming herself for how we got into this mess. And granted, we both put ourselves there. Mm-hmm. So I think we kind of go back to Gottman. We spent a lot of time trying to put out bids for attention and honoring those bids for attention, you know, text messaging, talking, staying as connected as we're able to, spending time going out when we can. We are both interested in going deeper into couples therapy to kind of uncover a lot of the things that maybe are still not uncovered that we should work through to make sure that this isn't going to happen again. We have talked about, you know, if we were going to, when we are going to renew our vows, like having gone through this, like what would the new vows be? Like, how would we make vows that are more meaningful considering
the
experience you're going through?
So I'm curious how you guys came to that. Like, so you're saying we need to renew our vows, and how did that come up with the two of you?
A lot of that's a really cool idea
for like when you're coming back together.
I think a lot of that was her initiative, because my initiative for not so much anymore, but for a good while is just to be there, be available, be consistent, myself to see that I really am there for her, and that, and for me, going through my own issues of like, why did I get defensive? Why did I put these barriers up? What is that aspect of me, and how can I not ensure, but what can I do to make sure to avoid that happening in the future? So I think a lot of that aspect was my work, and then like the coming together and the redoing the vows. I think a lot of that was her initiative.
I mean, I'm reminded when you mentioned that, I'm reminded of this principle, like how do people overcome hard circumstances, or how do you get past having gone through some sort of traumatic experience? And like one of the big underlying principles that is most of these models is finding meaning in what had happened. And I mean, like when you said that, I was like, oh, that's exactly what sounds like you guys are doing. You're saying we're going to have these vows, and you're saying I want to make sure that these vows mean something. And to me, it sounded like you guys really are wanting to have some meaning in what has happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's a great idea. And I keep saying that because, you know, I'm thinking, well, you know, why don't I tell people to do this sort of thing more often? But I guess it's really circumstantial. It all kind of depends on, you know,
of course,
what you guys want. So I want to go back to you just for a moment here. So earlier you're saying, basically what you presented here is you're saying, okay, things got bad and you joined the program and you started listening to Sarah a bit more and then things got better. But I imagine there was a little bit more, a few more bumps along the way.
Sure.
Specifically, you said it was really hard to listen and you had been getting defensive in the past. Why don't you think this was an issue that really was addressed earlier. Why didn't this get resolved sooner? I mean,
yeah,
this is a problem.
That's a tough question that I don't know that I really had the answer for yet. And that's something that I've been, you know, working with, you know, something that aspect I've been talking to Jeff about, mm-hmm. and something that I've been working through, but I don't know that I really had the answer. Like what, and I can see that now looking back, I can reinterpret history in that context of, yeah, I can see how she would have felt in this particular situation when I responded this particular way. What is that aspect of me that got there, and how do I prevent that from happening again in the future? And I don't know that I really have the answer exactly for that yet.
So, I mean, was it hard to get over some of those habits or some of those old tendencies, or did you just,
you know,
a little bit of a gentle push there?
I'm going to say the gentle push, because it was like really obvious of how it hurt her. You know, once I could see, like, oh yeah, that's how she saw it. This is how I saw it. I saw this particular situation this way, but this is the way she saw it. And she saw it a completely different way. And I can understand that. It was immediately obvious, like, yeah, of course that's how she's going to react. Of course she's going to not to want to continue the conversation. She's going to want to bottle things up. She's going to want to start to build up all these little resentments over time.
So I would say
a little push.
Okay. Sounds like you just kind of needed to get some get some empathy or some perspective on how Sarah was looking at things. And that's all that was needed really here. That little gentle push, as we're saying it. So last up here, I just want to check with you, because I always find this piece interesting. You know what? I want to know, what kind of advice would you give to other people going through some similar circumstances?
I think the things that helped me a lot were time and consistency. As you know, I really glommed onto the message of trying to understand their perspective and then changing, helping to work to change their narrative. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having those conversations early on when she was still gung-ho for the separation. But the conversation being like, you know, help me understand your perspective and all this. And then just consistently showing her that things don't have to be the way they were. Because, you know, she's going to be skeptical. She's going to say, well, why are things not going to change? And then just enough time. The question is, you know, what advice have people for people who are, I think for us too, one thing that really helped out, I think, was the separation. I think we actually, and she thinks this as well, that things had gotten, there was so much anxiety. She was really struggling with anxiety. And when she had the panic attack, she really did need that physical separation, even though she regrets the way it played out. She regrets having signed the lease. Mm-hmm. But I think having that separation, if someone is in a situation where they are physically separated, that, and didn't end up being the worst thing, for me, that ended up being probably a very healing thing for us. And
you
that gave
a break before you guys could make it better.
Yeah. And I think that gave me the space too, to kind of work through the path method and talk to Jeff and work through some of the stuff I need to work through.
I think that's a really good thought right there. Cause I talk to so many people who absolutely dread the idea that like a separation might be coming up or something along those lines. And essentially you're saying you don't need to be, you know, 100% afraid of it.
I mean, it was rough. It was really rough. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. It was devastating. Just the idea that, you know, I'm going to lose her my life is devastating. But I think in the end, it really was necessary for us to come back together.
Yeah. And there we have again, like, here is that meaning that's found in the suffering that happened. And I think, you know, if you guys can really hold on to that, I can only imagine that that's really going to help the two of you guys. I like consistently throughout this conversation, I keep seeing that with you and what you're talking about with Sarah, is that meaning behind everything. I think that's wonderful. So Matt, any last thoughts on, you know, what we've been talking about today, or any last words before we part ways here?
Yeah, I'm just going to repeat myself really, but I guess really understanding her perspective, having that physical separation helped us, and being consistent in showing her that her narrative, her story in her head isn't necessarily the way things have to be. Kind of understanding that she has a story and her story can change.
So some great advice that we've heard from you today. Well, Matt, thank you very much for your time today. And I'm sure a lot of people are appreciative of the story that you have here. So if anyone else out there would love to share their story, we're always looking for other people to kind of get their perspective and help kind of understand what's going on. So please let us know if you would like to share your story, comment below, and we would love to talk to you as well. Thanks, Matt, and have a good day, everyone.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.